ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। फाल्गुनाश्यामले पक्षे द्वादशाहं पयोव्रतम् अर्चयेद् अरविन्दाक्षं भक्त्या परमयान्विता। In the bright fortnight of the month of Palgun, February and March, for 12 days ending with Dwadasi, one should observe the vow of subsisting only on milk and should worship the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead with all devotion. Purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Worshipping the Supreme Lord Vishnu with devotion means following Archana Marga. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam Bandhanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam. One should install the deity of Lord Vishnu or Krishna and worship him nicely by dressing him, decorating him with flower garlands, and offering him all kinds of fruits, flowers, and cooked food, nicely prepared with ghee, sugar, and grains. One should also offer a flame, incense, and so on, while ringing a bell, as prescribed. This is called worship of the Lord. Here it is recommended that one observe the vow of subsisting only by drinking milk. This is called payo-vrata. As we generally perform devotional service on Ekadasi by not eating grains, it is generally recommended that on Dwadasi one not consume anything but milk. Payo-vrata and archana, devotional service to the Supreme Lord, should be performed with a pure devotional attitude, bhaktiya. Without bhakti, one cannot worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhaktiya mam abhijanati yavanyas chasmitatvataha. If one wants to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead and be directly connected with Him, knowing what He wants to eat and how He is satisfied, one must take to the process of bhakti, as recommended here also, bhaktya para mayanvitaha. One should be surcharged with unalloyed devotional service. In the bright fortnight of the month of Palgun, February and March, for 12 days ending with Dwadasi, one should observe the vow of subsisting only on milk and should worship the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead with all devotion. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 16, entitled The Payo-vrata Process of Worship, Text 25. Aditi, the loving mother of the devas, is in unbearable distress. Her children, who she loves, however old they may be. A true mother's heart never changes, whatever their position they may take. She sees them suffering miserably. They have been defeated, humiliated, plundered. They lost their positions, all their wealth, even their service. They're hiding in disguise. For one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. I cannot imagine the suffering of the devas when they are dishonored in such a way, where they have no other alternative than to run and hide in disguise. So their prestige has been crushed. Their physical facilities have been taken away totally. It's like we read in Mahabharata and Srimad Bhagavat, how when the Pandavas were exiled to the forest, who suffered the most? It was Kunti, even though she was not in exile. She was living in the palace being protected by Bhishma and Vidura. But just thinking of her children, bereft of everything, such a calamity upon her heart. So in this state, Aditi is being taught by Kashyapa Muni, her husband, how the only solution to any real problem is to turn to Krishna. Otherwise, as Prahlad Maharaj explains, the solutions to our problems may solve the immediate need, but if they are bereft of God consciousness, generally the solution creates a more complex and difficult problem than the original problem that it solved. Kashyapa Muni is instructing his wife, we have to turn to Krishna. And we find in the later verses how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, is going to come in this desperate situation to protect his devotees. And it is interesting, if we study the background of most of the great avatars, they appear when their devotees are in helpless, desperate conditions. There's not many avatars that come when the devotees are having nice, happy time. Because usually when that happens, they don't cry out for the Lord to save them. We can go through the 10 principal incarnations. There was Matsyavatar. It wasn't easy. There was a flood that flooded the entire world, and everything was going to be destroyed. But the Lord appeared to Satyavrat to save him. And not only save him, but save all the world forever by restoring the Vedas, which is the purpose of life, which is the means of salvation to everyone, the word of God. Then there was Kurma. The devas were trying to, they were in a helpless condition. They lost everything. The only means by which they can gain it back was churning the ocean of milk. And then the mountain, which was meant to be the churning rod, was sinking and sinking and sinking, and they couldn't do anything to keep it up. And they were screaming and crying, "Krishna, Vishnu, save us." And Vishnu appeared as Kurma to save the day and support it on his back. And when the earth planet was plunged in the Garbhodak ocean, quite a helpless situation. If you think a tsunami is bad, tsunami is just when a wave of the ocean comes upon the earth. But this is a situation where the entire earth goes to the bottom of the ocean. That's a pretty dramatic situation. And the sages and the rishis and the devas, they prayed. They were helpless, whoever they were. Even Brahma, all he could do was pray to Vishnu, who appeared from his nose as Varaha Avatar and lifted the earth. And Prahlad was in such a helpless condition, being persecuted by his father. And not only that, but Hiranyakashipu was terrorizing the whole world. And the sages and the rishis and the devotees, they were all praying, and he appeared as Narasimhadev. Parasaram, when the Kshatriyas were exploiting the innocent, the Lord appeared. And Ravana, we should offer our salutations to Ravana, because by his misdeeds, Lord Ramchandra appeared and performed his beautiful pastimes to deliver all humanity forever. And Krishna, Kamsa, Jarasandha, and all of these asuras, they were conquering all directions. The devas were helpless, the devotees were helpless, and like little Prahlad, who was being harassed so horribly by Hiranyakashipu, Vasudeva and Devaki, they had to tolerate seeing six of their children brutally murdered right in front of their eyes as they spent years and years in chains in a prison cell. But it was that environment in which Swayam Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, appeared within this world. And of course, seeing that the Vedas were being exploited by so-called Brahmins for their own egoistic reasons, and innocent animals were being slaughtered due to a deviant interpretation of Vedic sacrifices, Vishnu appeared as Buddha. It was an emergency. And we don't have to go into so many details about Kalki. Very difficult situation. And when Advaitacharya and all the other Vaishnavas saw the effects of Kali Yuga mounting greater and greater, they cried out, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So this is a very, very consistent message. Of course, everyone likes a nice, peaceful, and congenial environment to chant Hare Krishna and to be with blissful devotees and to be happy. Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But chanting Hare Krishna means we find our happiness in Krishna, not in the external circumstances. And if external circumstances are very nice, that's very nice. If we're taking shelter of Krishna with a grateful heart, But the tendency in this world is something has to shake us up for us to really, really take shelter. And essentially, bhakti is about taking shelter. So Kashyapa Muni here in this verse is instructing Aditi how to bring the Supreme Personality of Godhead into this world. Krishna is our only shelter. And he's giving her some tapasya to perform. 2 weeks, a fortnight of only drinking milk. That tapasya is required to show our sincerity, to take our minds away from all the distractions of material enjoyment, and also to help us to really fix our mind on our purpose. But this verse concludes with Kashyapa Muni. He's saying one should worship the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead with all devotion. One can only approach Krishna through devotion. Whatever deity worship, whatever mantras we chant, whatever food we eat, whatever austerities we perform, whatever charity we give, it is utterly meaningless to Krishna if it is not offered with devotion. There's a beautiful story in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela that exhibits this principle. Every day Lord Chaitanya would perform Nam Sankirtan in the house of Srivas. And for a year, he did it all night, every night, with his devotees. But he was very strict. Later on, he was very lenient as far as giving the holy names and inducing everyone to chant, whatever their position. But in the house of Srivas, it was a very intimate experience. Because there the Lord was revealing his divine ecstasies completely freely. But he could only do that among those devotees who had no trace of any material desires. Those people who loved him and served him with pure devotion. His intimate associates. And he would not allow anyone else inside. The doors were locked. The windows were shut. And they performed Nam Kirtan. There was a Brahmin who was a very austere brahmachari. Every day he would come to Srivas Thakur. Repeatedly he would request him, "Oh Thakur, I beg you, I have one desire in my life that only you could fulfill. Allow me to see the great Nimai Pandit dance. Even just one time, allow me to see it." He was yearning, he was longing. But Srivas Thakur would tell him, "It is not possible, because you are not one of the people that is selected by the Lord as one of his most intimate associates. You can chant, you can dance anywhere, but coming in this house, because if people who were not qualified were to see in the Lord and his devotees manifesting these ecstatic symptoms, they would not understand it." Sometimes a class of people called sahajyas, they imitate these ecstatic symptoms through practice in order to gain fame, recognition, and followers, to show the world how much they love God. But a devotee doesn't want to show the world how much they love God. They want to love God and help the whole world to love God. So Lord Chaitanya did not want cheap followers. And also, they just would not understand. Generally, a great personality will not reveal these ecstatic symptoms unless there's an audience who could really understand. Similarly, generally, great personalities do not discuss very, very high, intimate spiritual topics exhaustively unless there's an audience that is spiritually elevated enough to actually be able to not only understand it, but experience it. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that was his rule, and Srivas explained it. But still, that Brahmin was so determined. He was very honest. He was very moral. Extremely peaceful person and very austere. He was a brahmachari, lifelong brahmachari, with no intention for anything else. So finally, Srivas, seeing his really good qualities, he said, "All right, because you are so pure in heart, and because you've been you're a strict celibate and you only drink milk and eat fruits, and we really want to see it, I will bring you inside. But I'll have to put you in a secret place where you will hide so that no one except me knows that you're there." So the brahmachari came a little early and Srivas gave him a nice hiding place where no one would see him, but he could see. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his devotees. Mahaprabhu said, "Hari Bol," and the devotees began to chant Nam Sankirtan. Very sweet. Mardangas were playing, kartals were chiming, and how the devotees were singing with such intense emotion and devotion. Then Lord Chaitanya danced the most charming, intoxicating, enchanting experience that anyone could possibly be gifted with, is the vision of Sri Chaitanya dancing. As he was dancing, Nityananda Prabhu and Gadadhar Pandit were dancing around him in ecstasy. And Advaitacharya, he was hither and thither, going here and there, dancing, 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 as if he was floating in ecstatic joy. And all the devotees in Srivasangam were drowning in an ocean of transcendental bliss as the holy names was all that could be heard. Understand the nature of these kirtans. It wasn't about showing how you can dance or how you could play mridanga or how nicely you could sing. It was about being absorbed in Krishna, who is not different than his name. That's all. There was no false ego. Everyone did their best simply for Krishna, to give pleasure to Krishna, to give pleasure to each other. Sankirtan, full, complete, together. The mridangas in these prema sankirtan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the only focus was simply on chanting the holy names. That's all. total absorption in every syllable of the name. And in their ecstatic love, in every syllable of the name, these devotees were tasting Krishna and Sri Radharani. They were experiencing Vrindavan. The leelas of the Lord, the form of the Lord, the qualities of the Lord were all being manifest through the name. And the playing of the mridangas and the playing of the karatals, and if they had horns that they were blowing, and whatever instruments, it was the holy name playing them. The power of the energy of the holy name. They were just absorbed in the name, and the mridanga was just splendid. The Prem Kirtan, the mridangas were just, they were just like puppets of the holy name playing. And they weren't dancing according to some classical lessons that they had previously. They were simply immersed in the name. And in their ecstasies of being immersed in the name, their body just danced. They just let it go. So in this way, this is Nam Kirtan in its perfection. And this is what we should strive for. Kirtan's about totally engrossing oneself, absorbing oneself exclusively in the sound of the holy name. Japa, kirtan, bhajan, that's it. Everything else is just a way of doing that. Trinarapi sunichena. Taror ibasi hishnuna. Amani na manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Before these all-night kirtans began, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this was his only instruction, how to do it. Very instructive to everyone. He said, why are we wasting, we're doing kirtan in the day, why are we wasting our night sleeping? Time is so valuable. We should do kirtan all night, every night, for the next 1 year. That means no sleep. And devotees, they didn't start, arguing with him, well, what about they knew the power of the holy name. They knew the power of his mercy. But then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed them how to do it. Trinarapi sunichena taror ibasi hishnuna amani na manadena kirtaniya sadahari. That one should be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. In this way, one can constantly chant the holy name. Throughout the house of Srivas Thakur, all that could be heard was the sweet sound of the holy name. And the very person who was none different than his holy name, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was dancing in ecstasy as they were chanting the holy name. This was a very esoteric experience to contemplate. That for Lord Chaitanya, he was in the role of a devotee, showing how to be a devotee by being absorbed in the holy name. But all those devotees there understood that he's Krishna himself. So although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Radha, is tasting Krishna's holy names in ecstasy and trying to show people how to do it in the role of a devotee, for the devotees, they were chanting the holy names and they were seeing the holy name himself personified, dancing in ecstasy to their chanting. Now, just to intensify your attention, the benediction of hearing this story with faith, devotion, and rapt attention is we can be reunited with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and see his beautiful kirtan. So the kirtan was going on and everyone was besides themselves immersed in the supreme happiness. Suddenly Lord Chaitanya, and actually their greatest happiness was to see Lord Chaitanya happy. They were chanting and dancing so nicely for Lord Chaitanya's pleasure, and seeing him happy was their ultimate happiness. And knowing that Lord Chaitanya is non-different than his name, Radharani and Krishna are non-different from their names, when we perform kirtan, we should be thinking the same way. Is our consciousness, individually and collectively, is it in such a state that we are pleasing the Lord? Pleasing the Lord is our happiness. Suddenly Lord Chaitanya stopped the kirtan. Very abruptly. And he became very sober. He said, "Today I am not feeling my usual ecstatic love. Something is wrong. Is there someone in this house who is not supposed to be here?" Srivas was very much afraid. Now, how could he be afraid? Why would he be afraid? Bajahure mana srinandanandana abhaya charanaravindare. Govinda Das, the poet, has prayed, just worship the lotus feet of Sri Nandanandana and you will become fearless. This entire material existence is especially characterized by fear. Fear of loss, fear of death. As soon as the eternal soul, the Atma, identifies with this temporary body, inevitably there will be fear. But one who takes shelter of Krishna is fearless. We were discussing last night the gopas of Sri Braj Bhumi. They saw Agasura, who was the personification of envy and cruelty. And he was so angry. His sister, Putana, and his brother, Bakasura, were both killed by this little gopa named Krishna. And he wanted revenge. Serious revenge. Not only did he make the determined vow to kill Krishna, but he wanted to kill all Krishna's friends. Knowing that if I kill all the cowherd boys, then the parents, they will all die. If I kill all the calves, then all the cows will die in separation from their children. Agasura wanted to eliminate the entire race of Brijabasis. What is that called these days? Genocide. Genocide. He didn't want, just like Hitler didn't want another Jew to ever live in this world. Kill them all. He killed over half of them in Europe. 3/4 of them in Europe. So Agasura made Hitler look like a nursery school. Nursery school demon. Agasura was PhD demon. He could expand himself to be, what, 8 miles long and opened his mouth with this vengeful will to kill everyone. Now, can you imagine a demon like that standing before you? I've seen devotees. A little snake this big just slithers in front of you on the road and what to speak of the little snake with a diamond-shaped head, which means he's poisonous, looks at you and opens his mouth. Tell me, what will you do? Hopefully you'll chant Hare Krishna. Because it might be your last chance. Now, you're adults, and these are just little children, gopas. And they saw Agasura, and some of them, one of them started running away. Others were saying, no, no, this is just beautiful scenery. This is some special ornament for us to play on in Brajabhumi. And another boy said, no, no, this is a demon. Look, he's alive. He's a living snake. We could feel the heat and the horrible smell of his intestines through his breath. His mouth was reaching to the clouds. He had gigantic fangs, teeth that looked like big icicles in a cave. And the boys said, oh, he's a demon. He's come to kill us. Krishna will save us. And they all started laughing. And all of them together, without exception, they danced right into Agasura's mouth. And they were smiling and clapping and looking at Krishna as they were doing it. Krishna will save us. So what if he's a big demon? They were not bewildered, but Krishna became bewildered. My friends are running right into this demon's mouth who's here to kill them, kill all of us. And then Krishna began to think, you know, he had to kill him in a very special way because all his friends and all the calves are inside the demon's mouth. So he has to kill Agasura without harming everyone inside of him. So Agasura was waiting for Gopal. And then Gopal entered and he closed his mouth. And when he closed his mouth, it was so dark and so poisonous, so horrible, that all the children were unconscious. Some acharyas said they were dead. Now Krishna, he never revealed super excellent opulences when he killed any of the asuras, because he didn't want to interfere with the Brijavasi's love for him as an ordinary child. Whenever he killed a demon, it was in such a way that they would justify that it's due to our worshipping of Vishnu that Vishnu saved him. Yes, Putana grew very big, but Gopal didn't grow big. He just remained. Can you imagine when she ran out of the house and grew, what was she, 12 miles long? And Gopal stayed the same size. He was hanging on to her breast. Could you imagine how big her breast was if she was 12 miles long? And Gopal was like, he was probably like this big in relationship. And with those little tiny lotus feet, he's kicking her and he's sucking. But it was intolerable. So Krishna didn't grow. With all the demons, he kept his same appearance. But now nobody was watching because all the children were dead. And because he was inside the mouth, Yashoda, Nanda, nobody could see him. So he revealed an opulence to no one. He grew bigger, 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 bigger. Until he blocked all the air of Akasura. Now Akasura, he was actually, because the boys, the gopas, were so jubilant running into his mouth and they were playing and joking, he actually felt an attraction for them. In his heart, he actually felt affection for them. And because he died in that state, his atma burst from the top of his head and remained in the sky. Then his mouth opened. And Krishna glanced at his friends and brought them back to consciousness. And then they all happily danced out of Akasura's mouth. Krishna was last. And when Krishna came out, the soul of Akka entered into Krishna's body. And he actually attained the spiritual world as an eternal associate of the Lord in Vaikuntha. Why? Because that last moment he actually had affection and appreciation for Krishna's friends. But the idea of this story is how devotees are fearless because they've taken shelter of Krishna. Now here is Srivas Thakur, one of the greatest sages that's ever lived, an intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya. He's totally taken shelter of Krishna. He's Kirtaniya Sadahadi. He's chanting the holy names constantly. So why is Srivas afraid? Lord Chaitanya stopped his kirtan and said, "Is there anyone that is not supposed to be here in this house?" Srivas was afraid because a devotee's fear is that we displease Krishna. He wasn't afraid of anything for himself. He wasn't afraid of death. He wasn't afraid of losing everything. Because he understands, he's the eternal soul. But in bhakti, there is a fear of displeasing Krishna. Yashoda Mai was always afraid, but her fear was for Krishna's pleasure. Will he step on a thorn while he's herding the cows? Or will one of the cows move their heads and hit him with his horn? Or maybe the sun will be too bright and his body is so soft and so delicate. If I just touch it, it turns colors. What to speak of the hot sun all day long and all the rocks and stones and the pathways? This kind of fear is billions and trillions of times higher platform than being fearless. Yes, Brahmavadis, Mayavadis, they may be fearless because aham brahmasmi, I'm the spirit, nothing can harm me. Devotees are also that, but beyond that, because of their intimate love for Krishna, in order to increase that love, Krishna appears to be in trouble. Yes, when he was in the coils of Kaliya, Nanda Maharaj was beside himself, and poor Yashoda Mai, she couldn't bear it. They were all ready to jump in the poisonous waters, which were smoking with venomous vapors. They were ready to just jump in to fight with Kaliya, even though they knew they would die. They couldn't bear it, but Balaram stopped them. Balaram said, "Why are you afraid of this insignificant little water snake? Krishna is my brother. There is nothing to fear. He will take care of him." Of course, Balaram is an antashesha, so so Kaliya wasn't so much. Yashoda Mai fell unconscious like a cow that had just lost her calf. And all the gopis, they were all in the same distress as her, gathered around her in a circle chanting the glories and the names of Gopal to try to bring her back to life. So this is a fear that is born out of ecstatic love, selfless love. So this is the kind of fear that Srivas was thinking. I have displeased my Lord. When the Lord said, is there anyone in this house that is not supposed to be here? Now, you cannot tell a lie to the absolute truth and get away with it. We do it all the time, but you cannot get away with it. So Srivas, he said, my Lord, there are no atheists in the house. There are no sense enjoyers or sinners in this house. But there is one Brahman. Very pure, very peaceful, very learned. He's a brahmachari. He follows perfect celibacy. And he's so austere that his whole life he's only eating milk and fruit. He really wanted to see her dancing. So I brought him in the house and hid him in his secret place. When Lord Chaitanya heard that, he became transcendentally enraged. And he cried out, right now, at this moment, get him out of this house. How is he going to see my dancing? What is his qualification? What sadhana did he perform to qualify himself? Do you think that by drinking milk one can attain me? Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised his arm and stretched out one finger to make point. It is not by drinking milk or performing any other type of austerity that one can attain me. What qualification does he have? Even if one is a chandala, an illiterate outcast from a sinful background, if that chandala takes shelter of me, he or she will claim me and I will accept them. But even if a person is a sannyasi, completely rejecting and freed from all worldly attachments, with strict sadhana, if that person does not surrender to me with devotion, if that person from his heart does not take shelter of me, I will not favor him. What austerities did Gajendra perform? He was an elephant. Or Hanuman, a monkey. Or the gopis, simple milkmaids. It is not by austerity. It is only by surrender, sharanagati. It is only by sincerely from the heart taking shelter of me that one can achieve me. And then the Lord cried out, get this milk
drinker out of here before he pollutes everything. Otherwise, I will destroy everything.
Now, the Brahmachari Brahman, hearing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this angry mood speaking about him, he was trembling with fear. And he stood up from his hiding place right in front of everyone. And everyone was staring at him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with red eyes were staring at him. And he started walking outside, trembling. But as he was walking, he was thinking in his heart of hearts that I did see the Lord dance. And the Lord is so kind. He knows everything. He knows exactly what I need. And he chastised me because he understood the ego of my heart for my tapasyas and for everything else in my high birth. He gave me just what I needed. It was his kindness to purify me that he chastised me. But still, for a few minutes, he allowed me to see his dance, even though I'm so unqualified. Now, the Lord is seated within everyone's heart. He knows our every thought. He knows our every desire. And he understood the heart of this brahmachari. Tatenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatna kritam vibhagam. Lord Brahma explains in the 10th canto of the Bhagavad, who is qualified to attain Krishna? It is the natural inherited right of a person who, even when being chastised by the Lord directly or indirectly, passes through even unbearable obstacles and tribulations with folded palms and a grateful heart, thanking Krishna. I deserve worse, but you are so kind. That person alone who turns to Krishna with a grateful heart, even in difficult situations, will Krishna show his true favor to. So Lord Chaitanya called the Brahman back. And the Brahman came, and the Lord placed his lotus feet on the head of the Brahman. Why? Because he was so pleased that that Brahman was grateful even when he was chastised, because he had that type of faith in the goodness and the love of the Lord. And the Lord then said to him, it is not by any kind of austerities or tapasya. Even demons perform great tapasyas, Ravana, Hiranyakashipu. But because they have not taken shelter of me, I slay them. I do not give them myself. It's only by devotion. Bhaktyatvananiyashakya aham evam vidurajana. Jyatam drastam chatatvena pravayasham chaparam tapa. Only by undivided devotion, bhakti, can I be understood as I am standing here before you. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted that brahmachari as one of his own intimate, loving devotees. And seeing the mercy the Lord showed upon him, all the devotees offer their dandavat pranams and loudly chanted the holy name. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu resumed his dancing. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how the science and tradition of deity worship, the Archimurti, is such a sublime and effective way of reviving our love for Krishna by rendering personal service. And Srila Prabhupada writes, one should install the deity of Vishnu or Krishna and worship him nicely by dressing him, decorating him with flower garlands, and offering him all kinds of fruits, flowers, and cooked food, nicely prepared with ghee, sugar, and grains. One should offer a flame, incense, and so on while ringing a bell, as prescribed. This is called the worship of the Lord. So this is the process that Kashyapa Muni has given to Aditi, to worship the Lord. But his emphasis is on devotion. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had some very loving devotees in the village of Srikanda. You remember, we all went there for our yatra last. There were three devotees who were especially dear to the Lord there, all in the same family. There was Mukunda, Sadakar, his son Raghunandan, and Mukunda's younger brother was Narahari Sadakar. Now, I'd like to end class by just speaking a little story which illustrates the purport to this verse and this purport. Mukunda Sarakar, he was a doctor, Vaidya. He had a wife, he had a children, he had a business. Once in Jagannath Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Mukunda Narahari and Raghunandan. And he asked Mukunda, are you the father of Raghunandan? And Raghunandan is your son? Or is Raghunandan your father and are you his son? Now that's a very strange question to ask a father toward his son. And then Lord Chaitanya said, please dispel my doubt. Mukunda replied with great enthusiasm. He said, Raghunandan is my father and I am his son. Because he has taught me and my whole family what real devotion to Krishna is. This is for certain. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy. He said, yes, you have given the correct answer. One who gives us devotion to Krishna should be considered our superior in whatever relative relations we may have. Then Lord Chaitanya began to describe the glories of Mukunda. As I said, he was such a good physician that he was the main doctor for the king of Bengal, the Nawab Hussein Shah, and all the local rulers. One day, a king, Mughal king, he called for Mukunda to help him with some physical ailment. And the king was sitting on a high raised platform. And Mukunda was describing to him what type of medicines he should take. When someone came, see that peacock fan? It's just the right time. Someone came with a peacock fan like this in order to shade the king from the sun. As soon as Mukunda saw a peacock feather, he thought of
Krishna.
And went into such ecstasy just seeing a peacock feather. The remembrance of Krishna entered into his heart, conquered his entire mind, and he fell unconscious in ecstasy and fell right off the high platform onto the ground directly. And the king was really disturbed. He thought his doctor was dead. How could... how could anyone fall such a distance and not die? So the king got up from his throne and ran down and took Mukunda in his arms and said, are you all right? Are you in pain? Are you hurt? And Mukunda just looked up and said, no, not so much pain. Very indifferently, the king said, why did you fall all of a sudden? I've never seen anything like this. All of a sudden, you just fell down. Now, Mukunda could have said, well, I saw the peacock feather and went into ecstasy of love for Krishna. But devotees, true devotees, never boast about their ecstatic love for Krishna. They always present themselves as very fallen. So he said to the king, actually, I have a disease that's something like epilepsy. And I went into a fit and fell down. But because of his association with a great devotee like Mukunda, even a Mughal king could understand that actually he was in ecstatic love for Krishna by seeing the peacock feather. Lord Chaitanya said about his devotee, even though he appears to be a very ordinary householder with a family and children performing his occupation, to an ordinary person, he seems like a very ordinary man doing the same things everyone else does. But in his heart, everything he does is an offering of love to Krishna. He's constantly remembering Krishna, always chanting Krishna's holy names. Lord Chaitanya, he said to the three, he said, Mukunda, I give you the instruction to sincerely earn both material and spiritual wealth. Remain a householder. Remain in your occupation. Remain with your family, but always be absorbed in earning spiritual and material wealth through bhakti. Then he turned to Narahari Sadakar, his younger brother, and he said, you should remain here in Puri with me and remain with devotees and help to spread the preaching. And Raghunandan, the son, he said, you should worship the deity in the temple. In this way, Lord Chaitanya taught that even though these three different types of services are so altogether different, they are actually absolutely one and the same. Because the Lord is bhavagrahi. He sees the spirit of devotion. Whether one is a pujari in the temple, one is living in, or a brahmachari living in the ashram and preaching, or a grihastha living at home with an occupation. It's not that one is better than another. Where there is devotion, there is equal. Grihe tako vane tako sadahari bole tako suke duke bulonako badane harinam korore gai goru madhu sware. This is Mahaprabhu's message. Whether you're a grihastha like a Mukunda, or whether you're a sannyasi living in the forest, if we take the name of Krishna with devotion, we will be free from all the happiness and all the distress of this material existence. Because we will paramdrisvanivartate, experience the higher taste of Krishna. There's a beautiful story of Raghunandan. When he was just a small boy, he was hardly 5 years old. His father had just given him the sacred Brahminical thread and was teaching him, gradually teaching him about how to worship their family deity, whose name was Gopinath. Now one day, Mukunda, he was called, perhaps by the king, for some work, so he had to leave. Now every day, very, very strictly, with great devotion, Mukunda would offer the Rajbhog offering that his wife would cook, and then he would perform the arati. But on this day, he had to leave. So he told Raghunandan, your mother will cook and you should offer the bhoga to Gopinath. Now, Raghunandan really didn't know how to do it. He didn't know all the yantras and mantras and tantras and mudras and pujas. He was just a little boy. But his father had faith in his devotion, and that's what Krishna wants. So the mother made a beautiful thali, and with sabjis and sweets and rice with ghee, and gave it to Raghunandan and said, now my son, offer this to Gopinath. So Gopinath set it on the altar. And he didn't know the mantras or the tantras or the yantras or the mujas or the pujas. So he just looked up at Gopinath and said, eat, eat. So Gopinath ate. How does the deity eat? We learn from Brahma Samhita that all of the Lord's limbs can perform the functions of all the other limbs. So just by his glancing at the food, he's tasting the love and devotion that was put into that food. And when he tastes your bhava, your love, then that food becomes spiritually surcharged with his grace, and it's prasad, mahaprasad. So little Raghunandan, he said, eat, eat. The food was still there. Then he began to cry. The little boys on the altar weeping, crying, tears, saying, my Lord, my father's going to punish me because he told me to feed you and you're not eating what I'm taking. So he's not going to be happy with me. Am I so fallen? Am I so unqualified that you won't accept my offering? And then Krishna, just seeing the innocent devotion of this child, Gopinath the Murti spoke. He said, I already ate. Raghunath said, I don't see that you ate. Everything's on the plate. He said, no, I glanced and I accepted your love and devotion. And Raghunath said, I don't know all this high philosophy about about glance. The food is here. Please eat. And again he started crying. So Gopinath came down from his position, sat in front of the plate, and ate every morsel. Now this was taking a long time. And Raghunandan's mother was outside the doors thinking, what is my son doing in there so long? And then he came out, and she came to take the Mahaprasad. But she saw the plate was empty. Now, you mothers are laughing, but if your son, 5-year-old son, came off the altar with an empty plate, what would you think? She was thinking just like that. She said, Where's all the prasad? And Raghunandan said, Gopinath ate it.
She said, did you eat it? He said, no, I didn't. Gopinath doesn't eat like that. You must have eaten it. So he started to cry. No, I didn't eat it. Gopinath ate it.
So Mukunda, after a hard day's work, comes home and says to his wife, please give me prasad. She said, there is no prasad. What is this, there is no prasad? And she told him the story, that Raghunandan went in the altar, and he was in there for a really long time, and then he came out and said, Gopinath ate everything. So he asked his son, and his son told him everything that happened. At first he didn't eat, but then I cried, and he came down and ate. So Mukunda understood that his son was special. He said, make another offering to Gopinath, because I have to go out again. So he gave him a laddu and said, offer this laddu to Gopinath, because I have to go. So he went out the door and left. And then as soon as Raghunandan turned around, Mukunda turned around secretly, and from a hiding place he was watching on the altar what was happening. And little Raghunandan went on the altar, took the laddu, didn't put it on, he took it off the plate and put it right in Gopinath's hand. His father's watching. This is not what he taught him. He taught him Seva Puja according to the Archanapadahati. And then little Raghunandan said, Gopinath, eat this laddu. It's very good. Eat this laddu. And Gopinath didn't want to see his little devotee cry anymore, so he put his hand to his mouth and took a big bite out of the laddu. And Mukunda Sarakar is watching this. And he just went, huh? He made a sound of astonishment. And when Raghunandan heard it, he looked and saw his father. And then Gopinath saw the father and put the laddu. Moved his hand away. And to this day, if you go to Srikhanda through the Gopinath temple, half of the laddu is still there giving darshan to testify that the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts whatever is offered with love and devotion. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his brother Vidyavachaspati. And he said that the Supreme Lord has incarnated in two forms in this age. He has come as wood and he has come as water. And here Srila Prabhupada explains that everything is emanating from Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva pajante mam buddha bhava samandita. I am the source of all material worlds and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise, who know this perfectly, engage in my loving devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Now this is Krishna's definition of wisdom. We hear about wise man, and everybody has different ideas of what it means to be wise. But Krishna says this is wisdom. To understand that he is the source of everything and everything is emanating from him. And therefore, to worship him with all our hearts, with love and devotion. That means this material energy is Krishna's energy. And Krishna is present in his energy. Krishna is present in and between every atom. The impersonalist philosophers, they call this material existence an illusion. And their idea of tyaga, or renunciation, is to give up all of these things. The karmi people, materialists, they bhoga, they want to enjoy Krishna's energy. The impersonalists, they want to reject Krishna's energy. But a devotee sees that everything is for Krishna's pleasure. Even all the temporary phenomena of this material existence, including this body. This body is a temple of the Lord. The Lord is seated within this body. So how? Prapanchakatiya budhya hari sambandhi vashtuna. Rupa Goswami explains, incomplete renunciation is to renounce something thinking it's material. But complete renunciation means to use everything in the service of Thakurji, Sri Krishna. And Krishna, since everything is non-different than him, although he remains the source of everything, like the sun is the source of the sunlight, which pervades everything. Krishna, by his own free will, could make himself present to his devotee anywhere, in anything, even material elements. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that Lord Jagannath in Puri is Krishna, full-fledged Krishna, with all of his six opulences, performing his divine leelas in a way that we can see him, fix our mind on him, and render service to him in the form of Lord Jagannath. And he said, and Krishna has personally appeared in the form of water as Mother Ganges. She is absolutely non-different from Krishna. And she's come to purify our sins. And for those who approach her with the proper purpose, Ganga has come to bestow unalloyed loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord. And then he told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, your life's mission should be to serve Lord Jagannath, Krishna in the form of wood. And your brother, Vidyavachaspati, your mission in life should be to go back to Navadweep and worship and serve Mother Ganga. We will read today's verse. In the bright fortnight of the month of Palgun, for 12 days ending with Dwadasi, one should observe the vow of subsisting only on milk and should worship the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead with devotion. Krishna seeks the devotion in the heart of his devotee. Krishna would wake up early in the morning with his friends to the gopis' houses to steal their butter. It wasn't just mischief, because the gopis would churn that butter every state when they would milk their cows, when they would feed their cows grass, when they would... Every stage of making that butter was with pure love, hoping that Krishna would come to taste it. And Krishna reciprocates. He was going house to house, stealing the butter because he was hungry for the butter. Hungry for love. Virat Rupa, we saw what his mouths were doing. Devouring all the greatest kshatriyas on earth. That was a different situation. That same absolute truth in his original form, the source of all avatars, avatari, is roaming from place to place, searching for the love of his devotees. And the Lord descends into this world to search for the lost souls. And gives us, by his instructions, by his grace, the means to revive that love, because Krishna is hungry for our love. There's nothing that will satisfy Krishna except bhakti. And there is nothing that can satisfy the heart of any living entity except bhakti. Because it's the only reality that connects us to the ultimate object of our love, Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world searching everywhere for everyone. We were discussing last night, it was the appearance day of Vallabhacharya. Sripad Vallabhacharya, this great avatar, he traveled throughout the length and breadth of India. He just wore unstitched clothing, one set. There are 84 baithaks, or places where he sat and spoke the message of pure bhakti to the world. Searching, searching, searching for the lost souls, to bring them back to Krishna. And our beloved Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, how he searched for the lost souls to awaken that love and bring them back home, back to Krishna. On Krishna's behalf, he traveled around the world 12 times on behalf of Krishna. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Krishna comes to this world again and again and again, hungry for our love, knowing that until we offer him our love, there is only suffering. There could be no satisfaction. And in this age, the Lord has given such a dispensation. Just be humble. Just develop a genuine and sincere attitude to serve others without selfishness, to serve God and be compassionate to others. And with that spirit, I will awaken that love within your heart when you cry out with all sincerity, my holy name. Ramdas Ji Prabhu, wonderful to see you. What I see is your head is right beneath the dust of Hanumanji's lotus feet. Let us welcome Ramdas Prabhu to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple with great enthusiasm. And today for the Sunday program, Shamdas Ji Prabhu, Ramdas Prabhu, and my lowly self will all be here to serve you. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Today's breakfast prasadam is sponsored by Mitesh Prabhu on the occasion of his birthday. Let's express our gratitude by loudly chanting, Hare Bol!